Welcome to Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Casey Porter here, joined by Coach Holt. After a disappointing weekend in San Diego, Coach, and hey, the Dodgers are going to win the NL West. It is baseball. Offense comes and goes. You can tell my Dodgers dogs are already pissed off.
You said the
fact.
Dogs are pissed back there behind you.
Yeah, they're already pissed off. The Dodgers got beat 2 out of 3 this weekend. I get all that. I understand the Dodgers are going to end the NL West. I understand the marathon part of it. But, hey, man, it's bigger than that, okay? You need to make a statement to the Padres that we are the better team this year. The Padres have won 3 out of 4. This all comes down to San Diego now thinks, regardless of what happens in the NL West, we can and will beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. Now, I know there's a lot of tinfoil in that, but there is also a lot of that in play. So, hey, for me, no excuses. This weekend sucked. The offense sucked. They're really – I mean, hey, you know, I think as positively as anybody when it comes to baseball. I leave this weekend just about pissed about just about everything other than I already knew Tyler Glass now is an ace, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Walker Buehler, you're encouraged. Okay, and then last night I already knew the Dodgers, they hit the grand slam. So a lot of the things that won the game yesterday or the things that went well, you already knew were going to be good. So really, I didn't leave this weekend – with a whole lot other than frustration, to be honest with you. And again, I know it's 162. I know it's a marathon. I know I'm rambling on here before I bring you in. But I think that's probably more therapeutic than anything because just frustration right now.
Okay, so we say this all the time. I mean, we're Dodger Dog. We're fans. I mean, I'm not going to, yes. You know, we reserve the right to be pissed off and go up and down like that. As coaches, we can't do that, Case. You know, we got to be on even keel as players. You got to be on even keel to give the bad. We all get it. Baseball's a game of failure. You have to stay the not too high, too low. We've all used the same terms, and they're true. But Dodger Dogs like me and you and the rest of the guys here, we're fans, okay? I'm not coaching the Dodgers. I'm not right in that category. I'm not even anywhere near being capable of doing something like that. But I've loved the Dodgers, have been most of my entire life, and we have that right to do that, to get on here. Now, that being said – also, both me and you have been professional in our coaching careers that we're not ready to go off the deep end yet right there.
But sure.
Like I said, I'm not coaching right now. I'm a fan, and I try to keep looking. It's not Monday morning. I'm usually more pissed on Monday mornings.
Yeah, anyway, right. So,
and we got beat in the state semifinals Friday. But I kind of got over that yesterday after being down in Bricktown, and I was pissed. And I walked in there and saw the other teams playing, thinking it should be us. But anyway, I'm over that, and I'll get over this too. But I don't think we need to beat ourselves up for carrying. And that's what this is all about, Case. Like I said, me and you aren't in here with our analytics and trying to second-guess everything and tell Dave Roberts and the entire people who are
not at all
geniuses in what they do, what to do. That's not our place right here. But I don't think we need to apologize for being just a little bit pissed off. And I'm like you. The Padres have just been getting under my skin for a while. Not just when they beat us out of the playoffs a couple years ago. Every time they win a game against us, like the freaking World Series, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess it is for them. You know, they've never won anything. So I guess it is the World Series for them. Anytime they can get a mid-May win over the Dodgers, you know, go 2 out of 3 in a series at home. Okay, you know. Let them have their time or whatever. But I'm like you. You also kind of like we talked about for the Braves series. You want to set the tone where the Braves understand, hey, we're for real. Read all the hype, do all the Ohtani and all that stuff, and the Dodgers this, Dodgers that. Everybody's all ticked off. It doesn't matter on the field. We just beat you 3 straight. You know, so that's kind of what it boils down to. You kind of want to send the same thing to the Padres. And right now they're kind of sending it to us is it 3 out of 4?
Yeah.
Or 3 out of 5. We played it 5 times. I guess it was 3 out of 5. But
3 out of 5, yeah.
So, doesn't matter. We're on a losing side of that. And you don't want to get –
none of them in L.A. yet. None of them in L.A. That's bad.
Absolutely. And in the year they beat us in the playoffs – we smoked them that entire year. So, you know, it's like you said, the marathon, we all get that part of baseball. You know, the sky's not falling. It's not going to fall on this team. It's got to be real, real. We have to get like 10 or 12 guys hurt before the sky's going to fall on this team. It's too good. So we're not ready to do that yet. But, a little perturbed, just a little, you know, what's going on. I get it. You know, they're going to get on the plane and head to, I guess we're going to San Francisco next. So. You know, that's another one. You know, just go play the game. They got to play again tomorrow. We get it. But, I'm not going to apologize for being a little perturbed. So,
yeah. And to be honest with you, Coach, you know, like I said, we've both been in the coaching industry forever, played, did all that, right? All of those kinds of things. Honestly, as a manager, that the same message that I just gave you to open, that would be the same message I'd be giving them right now. Hey, guys, yeah, I get it. It's 162. We play the marathon. We do this or that. But this weekend was big, man. I mean, for no other reason. It's kind of like the Padres. You want them to be your little brother, right?
Yep.
So here you have the biggest crowd in Petco history. Of course, the Dodgers did win that game. But you have this weekend where the Padres are, hey, they're all fired up. The town of San Diego is ready to go. They're screaming, beat L.A. And you go and just put a slap knot on their head, right? I mean, right then and there you go, okay, your little brother, get the hell out of my way, right?
Yeah.
The Dodgers had the opportunity to do that. They didn't do it. And so now, regardless of what happens in the NL West, regardless of what happens with the rest of this regular season and all of that, unless, like, the Padres have 100 million different injuries. Again, there's overriding. There are parts of your season within that marathon that have overriding messages to them and overriding consequences to them. And this is one that just opens the door for the Padres to have confidence.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, there's so many games and the highs and lows, and we get all that part, but it still counts. Case.
Yes.
These games count. So,
I mean, it's a freaking Padres, man. I just
you know? These games count. It's like I used to tell about spring training. Everybody's, oh, it's just spring training. Well, hell, don't do it if it doesn't matter.
Right. I mean,
you know, these games count. So, you know, yeah, it's in the big – what if we get down the end and we're not going to lose a division. But, you know, what if we did get down there to the race and all of a sudden say, yeah, we should, those games in Austin, San Diego,
yeah,
freaking may kill us. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, who knows? Who knows what things can change and the baseball gods can turn on you in a heartbeat. But, it's the same thing. The games do – every game matters. The guys that play it, those guys, their bodies, I mean, they've got to protect their bodies, the way they eat, the way they rest, all the way they train, everything. Mm-hmm. Every day they have to be focused on their job. Wouldn't it be great to wake up every morning, Case, and all you got to do is baseball? I talked about this when you're coaching, and I know there's pressure on the players, and there's even pressure on the coaching staff because they're going to get fired too if it's not a good product. So, but I still love that opportunity. So they're going to get up and do their thing, get on a plane, whatever they do, train automobiles when they go to San Francisco and get ready to play. But they all count, and you have an opportunity. You don't want those guys getting confidence. We're not through with them. Yeah, we play them so much. I mean, you know, they're going to roll it up on you. I don't know. I don't see that happening. They're talented. They were talented last year. And again, they just get on my skin. I don't know what, just because it's when they win a game, it's, you know, their biggest victory of all. And maybe it is. Heck, I don't know. You know, I hate speaking from the other side.
Hey, power to them, man. Good for them. They sell out Petco Park. They're jazzed about it. They beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3. That's what they should be doing.
Yep.
Good for them, right? I mean, that's exactly how the Padres should be treating the Dodgers. That's a sign of respect of, hey, this is the hated Dodgers.
Yep.
So good for them. I mean, it's up to the Dodgers to go in and claim dominance.
No, that's absolutely right. That's the way it should be. When we come into your ballpark, hey, we're going to beat your butt, and we do. We're going to celebrate. That is exactly the way – you're right. That's what it should be. The Padres, I wish we had Cronin. I like Croninworth. We wouldn't have any place to play.
Good,
I just like,
yeah,
I just like that
run.
Dude. I'm a fan of Jake Croninworth.
And he's having a good year.
Yes, I'm definitely not a fan of the Padres, but it's kind of, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm a baseball fan like you are. I'm a baseball purist, Case. And I just like watching Croninworth play for out there. I know he hit a home run today against us too. I'm getting tired of you, Darvish, beating us. We had that sucker; he couldn't beat anybody when the money was on the line. I shouldn't say that, but when we had him in the playoffs, I mean, dude couldn't get anybody out. You know, now he's, I guess he didn't beat us the first time in Japan. I don't think he did he? I guess we end up winning that game. I can't remember. I know he pitched, we got him out of the game, but he beat us today. Showed us out 4-0. I don't know. I didn't see the line score and how long he went. All that. Don't care. All I know is he was a winning pitcher, and that kind of bugs me too. Again, I'm sure he's an outstanding, great person, and, you know, compliment to himself and his country and his community and all that good stuff. I still don't like it. So same thing.
Yeah, Darvish, I don't think I had time to really incorporate into the pressure of what LA brings you. Hey, man, when you come to the Dodgers, whether you're a rookie, a prospect, it doesn't matter. There is no runway to get comfortable. You have to hit the ground running, and if you don't, you get outcasted pretty darn fast. That happened to you, Darvish. But he definitely, since then, has made it personal. You can tell when he pitches against the Dodgers. It is personal for him to show the Dodgers what he actually is, and what he was with the Dodgers isn't actually what he is. And what he is actually is the kryptonite. There's a couple of kryptonites. We talked about this with Gavin Stone against the Braves, Coach. You know, you have the old school, you have the new school, and as Max Hewitt would say, our favorite coach, and then there's the right school, right? There is no old school. There is no new school. There's a right school, right? So something we talked about this with Gavin Stone with the Braves, and then Tyler Glass now, and those kind of guys. Late movement, late life on all your pitches. That sinker that Michael King was throwing had late movement. It was hopping back over the plate. I understand that the strike zone was big. I understand that the umpire actually was a little bit better than I think Dodgers. I think he graded out at like 93%. So I think he was a little bit better than Dodgers fans thought it was going to be with his umpire scorecard. So any kind of late movement, late life is going to move off of barrels, and it's going to keep you from really putting a lot of hard contact out there. So that was Michael King with his sinker. And then the other thing that beats a team with just a lengthy lineup like the Dodgers is if you have like eight pitches. That's exactly what Yu Darvish had today. He had eight pitches, five of them were in the strike zone, 50% or better. So why is that such a big deal? Because with all the different types of hitters that the Dodgers have, you can approach and attack each style of hitter when you're throwing that many pitches for strikes in whichever way you need to. And then also, Coach, you can approach each hitter in the lineup a different way every time you face them. So that allows you to get through the – we saw that with Walker Buehler today. We went through the lineup the first time, obviously gave up the home runs, but he's not ready with his command to go through several times in a lineup. But with the eight pitches that Yu Darvish has, he is able, even with the Dodgers lineup, when he's throwing strikes like he did today, to go through a lineup several times. And when that happens and they get an early lead, it's tough.
That's exactly the frustrating part. When Darvish was with us, with the Dodgers, is what you just said. He is so talented, man. He may be the most, you know, if you just look at a freak on the pitcher, man, he may be that guy. But, you know, we've seen the other side of him. Not just us, but he's with the Rangers, the other teams he's been with. You've seen the same thing. But like you said, when you got eight pitchers and five of them are in the zone, I don't care, you know, I don't care who you're playing against, you know. But he has that type of talent.
He does.
Everybody, there's no doubt, I'm not the guy making – I'm a dummy in Oklahoma, but I can see that. The guy's got great talent. And making it personal, that's okay. I mean, do whatever you got to do, but the bottom line is, you know, I'm going to judge you on what you did with the Dodgers, and it wasn't very damn pretty, so I'm going to leave it at that.
Hey, we have a great crowd logging in, Coach. Nando390 says, Buehler was 2 years ago. Get him off the rotation. Yeah, we're definitely spewing frustration. Buehler, hey, I'll tell you what, we talk about his command. His control actually is fairly decent. Command isn't. If you look at some of the pitches that he gave up, the home runs on, he tried to throw back-to-back. One of them I know was listed as a four-seam. Leaked back out over the plate, had a little bit of arm side run to it, ended up pretty much center cut when he gave up the home run. And so, yeah, Walker Buehler, hey, he's the type of guy right now that has good enough stuff, in my opinion. The fastball got up to almost 97, so I think it was just a couple tenths of a mile per hour off of that. That's good that the velo's there for the most part. He located the ball okay, but I just don't think his command right now is in a spot to where he can really go through a good lineup more than, say, once at this point. Now, here's going to be the question. Is his command going to all of a sudden get that much better to where he can roll through a lineup two, maybe three times to give you that magic number of six innings?
Well, he's a major leaguer, a proven major leaguer, but he's going through growing pains, Kate, because he's been out since taking long. It's like starting all over for him. It's really not, because he does have experience, but it's been a while since he's been in that situation and faced big league hitters. You know, a couple of weeks ago, the dude's pitching in Oklahoma City. You know, I mean, you're 10 feet behind him because there ain't nobody there, and you got your cameras on him and watching every pitch. You know, so, you know, he's not the finished product back yet. You know, we love Walker Buehler, and we know what he's capable of doing. In 97, that's a pretty damn good sign right there. I think that's a big one. You always worry about arm injuries. Do they get back to the velo? I mean, that's a great sign. The other parts, like you said, Case, facing big league hitters, facing any kind of hitters, facing big league hitters in an environment with guys that are now, they're getting information on you. I mean, now you're starting to throw, they're starting to get information on you, what you can and can't throw yet. So there's all kinds of, you know, there's no secrets again. And you're talking about a guy who's just now working his way back in. He's been out a long time. So yeah, I'm not ready to scrap the guy, but you know, thank God that Glasnow's been the dude we thought he'd be. And you know, Stone, I mean, the guys who, you know, we thought we had, we have, you know, and you can get Buehler back, and you know,
Paxton's been really good.
Yeah, Paxton's been good. Trying to look good at the other pen. I hadn't seen, again, in case I've been busy. Yeah. Told you 2 years ago, I love that dude. He was unhittable. I didn't care who was in the box. They weren't going to hit him the way he was throwing. So that's a great sign for the Dodgers to get him back in the pen. So, you know, I think, yeah, Buehler, God, I mean, he's still Walker Buehler, and he's still the
dog in him.
The only thing I like is the 97 was there. You know, and he wasn't in Oklahoma City, right, Case? He didn't hit that velo when you saw him in Oklahoma City.
No, he was about, and we mentioned he was about 94, 95, yeah, about 94. And we mentioned that, hey, we really thought that when he got to the major leagues, that setting, you know, so the excitement of being in front of 40-some-odd thousand people instead of 1,500 people would bump him to 96, somewhere around in there, and that definitely has happened. The thing about him, he's doing a good enough job throwing his four-seam fastball for a strike. But, hey, the Tommy John, it's not about the pain. It's not about any of that. It's just things don't feel the same, right?
Right.
And so it's all the – you don't feel it. So the four-seam is probably going to be fairly fine because that's not really a feel pitch. You just kind of put it in your fingertips and you try to get that backspin on it and you let it loose, right? But everything else, all your other secondaries, very feel-heavy. So he just didn't land any of his other pitches enough to take pressure off that fastball right now. And whenever you're throwing strikes with your fastball – but not necessarily commanding it within the strike zone. Now, if you're not landing any of your secondaries enough, now you're having to actually locate your fastball so well that Walker Buehler's just not ready to do that at that point. So, long story short to say, he just didn't throw his other pitches enough in the strike zone to take enough pressure and give him enough margin for error with his four-seam fastball, in my opinion.
Right, in case – like I said, I just mentioned everyone as we got started here. We're fans. We're talking about it here. You know, we act like he got killed 14-0. It was 4-0. I know he gave up three runs. He gave up. I'm looking at 3 1/3. You know, 5 hits, 3 runs, all 3 earned, 2 walks, 2 Ks. I mean, 77 pitches, 45 strikes. It's not horrible. You know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, it's not the Walker Buehler we're used to, but you know, he's up to 97. That's not bad. And I did see the video of the Tatis home run. That wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad a pitch.
No, it was up. I mean, he tried it. It was up in the zone.
Yeah,
and give Tatis credit and Merrill both. They went with the pitch. They hit it dead center.
I'm saying that pitch was almost. I mean, it's on that right on the black almost. I mean, he was right on the corner. So you know, Tatis is a talent. You know, you got his arms extended. Boom, 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 and he hit the ball out. But you know, so. We're also looking at a world-class, you know, athlete, a big guy who's got some power. So, you know, I think, look at me, just the amount of time we've been on, I'm already coming down off the plane.
Sure,
I'm already slowing down a little bit, getting back into coaching mode, going, okay, it wasn't where we needed to be, where we wanted to be. You know, do we get pissed off because we got no runs? What do we get, 4 hits? I mean, you know, maybe I'll be pissed off about that. You know, Darvish did that to us. But, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of things to look at. Let me look here. Darvish, he went 7 innings, so obviously the dude was on. 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, 101 pitches, 74 strikes. Mm. Dude, that's you Darvish capability. He's capable of doing that to anybody.
Good.
So he has that kind of stuff to do that to big league hitters. So, again, I'm going to come off the plank a little bit right there. But, yeah, like I said, the fact you told me 97, I didn't know that makes me feel a lot better.
Yep.
It's not all about velocity. We get that. Everybody throws 100 anymore, even in Division I. Everybody's 95 and above. You know, in high school this year, everybody we saw in Texas is over 90. Most of the guys in Oklahoma are over 90. It's just nuts nowadays.
It is.
And the velocities that are out there. So, but that's good because that shows he's getting close to back. Like I said, the field case, I don't have all the videos to check, you know, as he changes arm angle. And you know what I'm saying? There's a lot that goes into that. Where's arm angles at? Like I said, you got the feel. But, you know, has he changed anything? do that. You know, I doubt it. Like I said, I'm not on the day-to-day operation of watching that. And guys that study the video and his trainers, his physical therapist, all that stuff that brought him back from where he was at, I'm not privy to that information. Don't know. But 97 sounds pretty stinking good. And like I said, if Yu Darvish isn't being Yu Darvish times 10 on the other side, you know, if you win 5-4, everybody's all good. Sure. You know? So that's the thing about it.
Yeah, you didn't win 5-4, though, because you really – point blank, Coach. I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm not trying to be a downer. Gotcha. Just really just trying to give you – just shoot it straight. It's just exactly what happened this weekend, right? Yeah. There's no other way to describe this weekend other than just a dud for the offense. I mean, just point blank, it was a dud. 6 runs, 13 hits in 3 games, went 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position, and left 19 on base. So, again, we're going to move past. I don't consider this to be negativity. This is just calling it what it is. I mean, this is if you're a coach and you're addressing your team.
It's black and white.
Like,
yeah.
Guys, this is why we lost, right? We're just covering the reasons why this weekend you lose 2 out of 3. Not trying to be negative about it or any of that, but here's why. When you only score 6 runs, you only get 13 hits in the 3 games, and you go 1-for-19. There's an old saying, good pitching, good defense, timely hitting, right? Okay, well, the Dodgers got good pitching. They definitely got good defense. We'll talk about the Max Muncy defense here in a minute. Did not get the timely hitting or any timing at all. So that part of it, Coach, that's part of the process. The coming and going with the offense, those numbers I just gave you, that's part of the marathon. You're going to have periods like that throughout 162 games. So, yes, it was a dud of a weekend, but I do think that part of it, you can say this is the best offense in baseball. It's going to continue to be. I think you can just chalk that one up to being just part of the game.
Yeah, it's part of the game. It's baseball. I said, Case, I'm still pissy over here about us losing the state semifinals. We got a great offense. We got 3 hits off what I consider an average pitcher.
Yep.
Hey, the guy's going to get him a state championship ring now, so what do I know about him? I'm just telling you what I saw with my own eyes. You know, we've had a great offense, and you get – so it goes the same back what you just said, timely hitting. You know, we're taking too many good pitches, too many half swings, too many, you know, pitches. You know, don't worry about what the strike zone is behind the play by the umpire. You've got to be in your game, have your plan when you get up there. We had a lot of that stuff. So that's baseball. Ours happened at the wrong time. We're out, but – it happened. It's not the first time it's happened to us this year, and it won't be the first time it's happened. The Dodgers won't be the last time for them either. It doesn't make us feel any better about it, but I'm like you. That's in the past, the Dodgers have had times they had good offensive team. Nothing like this one, but had good offensive teams. You're like, how can we not hit? How can we have stretches where we just don't hit at all? I get it. Not everybody stays hot all year, but you got 9 guys out there swinging the same thing. You know, I mean, and there are days that all 9, it just happens. Like I just told you, I lived through one of those Friday afternoon in state semifinals. Yeah. The Dodgers lived through, I mean, it happens. I get that, but sometimes you're just like, you know, I said it Friday. I'll just barrel bluntly, what the heck happened to our offense?
Yeah.
You know, we're going home. You know, we're done. And so, you know, we all get that part of the game. If you're in baseball, you spend any time in there on the coaching end of it and the where you have to stay even keel, you know, that's part of it. Like you just said, it's just baseball, Case.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And another part of that before we move on to something else, after the grand slam by Tio Hernandez on Saturday, the Dodgers went 2-for-12 to end Saturday's game and started today 0-for-14. So 2-for-26 after the grand slam. That's honestly, Coach, of course, Otani wasn't in the lineup with the back tightening up. Right. But honestly, that type of stretch, 2-for-26, and again, I know it's baseball, it happens. I just didn't see, you know, we've even talked about it several different times. We just didn't see spells like that from this offense. We thought it was too lengthy. We thought, hey, if these guys are struggling on a certain day, other guys would pick them up. And I think a lot of that is because the bottom of your lineup is definitely struggling. James Altman's struggling. Gavin Lux is struggling. It seems like whoever you put down there, of course, Andy Páez is coming back to earth, right? You know, so I really didn't see stretches like that for this offense. But again, not to make too much out of it. James Paxton, 4-seam, he threw for a strike 54% of the time. He got up to 95.6. His knuckle curve had over 4 feet of break on it. So, man, you talk about, this is why, Coach, in the offseason, Austin and I were very high on James Paxton when the Dodgers got him. It's also why, if you go back to the hot take we had on James Paxton, he was the guy at the trade deadline. Both Austin and I were hoping the Dodgers went and got. It's because he has the high velo, the high riding force thing that the Dodgers like, and then he has a really good tumbling pitch. Usually that tumbling pitch is a changeup. In his case, it's the knuckle curve. But when you have good velo, you can ride the top of the zone, then you have a tumbling pitch to match off of that. That is a mix and a sequence that the Dodgers always do well. James Paxton, it's worked so far.
Anytime you get that type, and the pitches you just mentioned, you have a three-pitch mix, you know, is awesome. Not five like Darvish had today, but I mean a three-pitch mix. You know, when you can do that, anytime you change an eye level, anytime you're changing the hitter's, you know, eye level, and you're throwing 96 yep. miles an hour.
Right.
You know, I don't care what level you are. You know, it's major leagues, wherever. That's pitching. The guy's pitching, and I'm like you. They got him in glass now. Have been everything we thought they'd be. We actually maybe a little bit more than we thought they'd be. We knew they were good major league pitchers, but you know, they're surrounded by a great team. But those guys have been good, and you know, the pitching staff has held up pretty good. Even the bullpen, consider what they've gone through. We're getting some guys back, and hopefully, I don't know if Joe Kelly back. I haven't kept up with that. Is he out? Is he out for a while?
Okay. No. Gus Varland came in today. JP's on the roster right now. Okay. Alex Vesia through. Okay. Blake Treinen looked dirty the other night. Ryan Yarbrough came out of the bullpen.
Good. Well, like I said, only one, like you said, when you mentioned Treinen, I know that's a good one, but we need to get some other guys back too, and some other ones. And like I said, I just had the feeling of some guys that, like last year when all those young cats had to come up out of minor leagues and pitch and save our bacon, I just keep thinking we're going to have some of that too. Pot has showed some of that. But like I said, Case, we know it is. We know how that's going to go. The longer he's here, the more the book that people get on him, quote unquote, they get information on him and learn how to pitch to him. So, you know, that's what makes it tougher for all these guys. Like last year, Outman started out leading the majors in home runs, you know, and then he couldn't get a hit at all.
He was King Kong.
That's the way those things go. And the good ones and the ones that are able to hold on, they level it out too. And he'll get there too. So you just hope he continues to do that. And it's a great offense. I'm like you. It's just frustrating when you see that they go through stretches like that. And again, Darvish, it don't matter who's pitching against. He's on 27 Yankees going to have trouble hitting that right there.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that even as talented as this Dodgers lineup is, one of the best lineups Major League Baseball has ever seen. I know that's a pretty steep statement to make, but that's a fact. I mean, this offense is just – so good. It's still, even as good as this offense is, when pitchers execute and they make the pitch that they're supposed to make, hitters don't hit it. It's still hitting at every level is about waiting for the pitcher to make a mistake. And then once they make a mistake, you can't miss it. So just kind of to give you the example of that. Okay, Tio Hernandez in his grand slam, Coach, he actually saw three sliders. Two of them were almost in identical spots, and they were like center cut. I mean, just right there for him to hit. So obviously a mistake pitch that he hit, and that's on top of three walks in a row. So when the Padres pitchers executed, like when Michael King was throwing that slider and it was hopping back over the plate, he was getting the black called by the umpire. And when Yu Darvish was throwing eight pitches and five for strikes, when their pitchers were executing, the Dodgers weren't hitting. When their pitchers were making mistakes, the Dodgers were hitting. So it's amazing, even as great as the Dodgers are, it's all about, in the major leagues, hitting mistakes, isn't it?
Yeah, and can you imagine back in the day going into Atlanta and you look ahead at the paper and you're going to see Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz. Hey, good luck. Good luck, big boy. Get those bats out and get to work. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing. At some point, you're just like, as we say, tip the cap and move on, you know, and some of these guys. But, you know, it's just something, you know, I mean, you look at, we got the greatest hitters on the planet. I just look at here, you know, Mookie's leveled off a little bit, 339. Yeah. You know, I mean, Freddie's at 301. You know, Smith 306. I mean, Teoscar, he's 252. He probably gonna stay there forever. That's what he came.
He's exactly what the Dodgers signed up.
That's exactly what he was when he came here.
Ohtani's been awesome.
Muncy's 234. He's not gonna be much. Yeah. I mean, you get what you're getting out of these guys. So
except for the bottom, Albin and Lux. You got to figure that out.
And Lux, we keep saying he's been he's been proven that he's, you know, is productive offensively before the knee injury. But I mean, you can keep saying that, but you know, we need it to come to fruition, and we need Altman to. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, there's no secret. You know, the bottom order is going to have to produce more.
Yeah, I mean, there is no shade to be thrown on that. Got to call a spade a spade. Gavin Lux, last seven games, 190. He started to turn it around a little bit. Just calling a spade a spade. If the Dodgers don't want to have dry spells at all, that the bottom of the lineup has to get figured out. Hey, Coach, yep. We have a wonderful crowd logging in. I always say on our Dodgers Dog Show as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Coach, we don't have the biggest crowd, but we have the best baseball fans on earth. So super excited to get to our chat.
They're Dodger fans. You know they're the best fans. What the heck?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Madman 5 Dodge was encouraged by Buehler hitting 97. As you said earlier, I think you will find it. The offense, on the other hand, stunk. I think that's a very, very, very straightforward. Maddie Man 5 is always very straightforward, Coach.
Yes,
and a very fair take there. Michael Correa, yeah. The offense has gone cold when it matters of late. Only home runs seem to be saving them in their losses. Yeah, the T.O. Hernandez home run was a grand slam. That was 4 out of the 5 runs. Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, back to you, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Thank you so much for joining. Craig Osterberg, who is one of our wonderful Dodgers dogs, he's joining. He says hello to both myself and yourself, Coach. So, good evening, Craig. Thank you so much for joining.
Craig.
Yep. Hey, Michael Carrillo says Darvish was gettable today, but the Dodgers keep beating themselves. I will say Darvish was really good. The 8 pitches, 5 for strikes, 50% or more. Was pretty good. So, yeah, I will say, what's up, Gregory? Our moderator, Gregory, is in the house. Greg Osterberg, why Roberts not have Lux and Altman in? They platoon. I mean, it's, yeah, but again, it's a platoon, but Yu Darvish is pitching. So now you're talking about what types of splits does Yu Darvish have? What type of matchups are they? And then also, Coach, they're a little part of this is, you know, we talk about these platoons. They're based off of sabermetrics. They're based off of analytics. Sometimes within 162, especially a rubber game, you don't have Ohtani in the lineup. You're against a guy who's totally unpredictable, like Yu Darvish. Sometimes you go with your gut, right?
Yeah, you have to. And they have a plan, which I'm not privy to, and I don't need to be. I'm not smart enough to do it, of what they rest these guys, how they're going to rest them. And they've got all the numbers in front of them, too, how they're hitting against Darvish. You know, that could have some effect there, too. You know, you know the top 3 aren't coming out. The top 4, count Will. You know, it doesn't matter who the heck they're facing. Those guys aren't coming out.
Pajes isn't coming out right now.
No, yeah. And T.O.'s not coming out. So, but you, like you said, when you're hitting 190 the last few games, you're going to be platooned. They're going to find what's good. And I don't know what the numbers are for those guys against Darvish. Probably not very good that have been in there. But it may be in time. Maybe in there. Maybe the time they get to rest them. You know, I'm not privy to that information on how they do that. I don't need to know because that's not my. It's not my responsibility. But there's a good reason why those guys weren't in there. As you look down through there, I mean, yeah, it's not the best lineup we could have, but. It was today, but it didn't work out. So it doesn't look that way. It's baseball. How many times have me and you sent a guy or made a pitching move you thought was great?
Well, that didn't work.
That didn't work. Where's the pitching coach at? You know, blame somebody else or somebody you thought, oh, man, I don't feel good about this one. But it's all the guy I got, and you put him in. He throws 3 shutout innings. Everybody's patting you on the back. Great job, coach. Hey, good move. You know, so we've all been there, and it's the same on the big league level. It's everywhere. So you go with gut. I know you got your analytics. Those guys have all this information they need. But at some point – I mentioned here on the show before, you know, I'm definitely not an OU fan, but I've been a Bob Stoops admirer,
sure.
I'll put it that way.
Sure.
He said
absolutely.
That analytics is just for people trying to make excuses for not having success. You know, there is to me, being old, there's probably, I tend to agree to Coach Stoops on that a little bit, but on baseball, as me and you both know, the information is great. I mean, the spray charts, the hitting charts, the to hitters. God, that more information you can get when you're trying to beat somebody is outstanding. So I wouldn't call it analytics, but we've been doing it forever. Scouting reports, spray chart, whatever you want to call it. We've all done that stuff, and it's time that's really been spot on. But, you know, I tend to agree maybe some of the analytics Coach Stoops is correct there. The guy is a Hall of Fame coach, and like I said, not a big OU fan, but an admirer he is.
Yeah. This was about 15 years ago, but we were in the state tournament, semifinals. the semis of the state tournament. We're playing McAllister, who is really good. You know, Randy Hughes had that program rolling year in and year out. And I was calling pitches, right? And we'd given up five home runs in like the first three innings. And two of them were the same guy. And Coach Chappell, who is in the Hall of Fame for Oklahoma State, Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association Hall of Fame, with over 500 wins. I was his assistant for 18 years. And he just goes, "What in the hell are we doing down there? God almighty, we've given up five damn home runs." And so I just turned to him, you know, I'm not even mad, right? I mean, I'm doing – so I just turned to him and say, "Coach, have at it, man. Call the pitches, right, brother? Here, you can have it." Trust me, I would rather not be calling pitches right now. He goes, "Well, gosh dang it, I'll just do that then," right? So he calls like 15 pitches and gives up three home runs, and he goes, "Well, I guess I was wrong. You can have it back for it." So it's just one of those things, like, you know, hey, it's one of those deals to where it's not quite as easy as it looks, right? Hey, you do it, it doesn't work, and it's like, oh, man, that just kind of reminds me of what you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
With all the decisions, you know, one of those deals. It's just kind of funny. But, hey, we have a great crowd logging in. Matty Man Fye says, "I don't care about the regular season. I'm thinking about the playoffs. This looked like a preview to the playoffs." That was kind of my message at the beginning of this show.
Yes.
I really agree with that. Now, there is a little bit of tinfoil to that. Yes, it is 162. Yes, the Dodgers had not played the Padres in Los Angeles yet. But still, there are some alarm bells from this weekend.
Yeah, like I said, that's still not going to keep us from being butthurt over it. I agree with him. You know, I mean,
sure. Players and Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman and all of them are just as butthurt about it as I am. Now, not to where it's going to affect showing up tomorrow and playing or whatever, but, you know, that kind of deal, right?
Well, I'm still butthurt over them knocking us out of the playoffs. I was that two or three years ago.
Yeah, sure.
We dominate those suckers all year, and they spank us in the playoffs. So I'll admit I'm butthurt over that still. So I still got to burrow my saddle over that deal.
Yep.
Of course, I'm mad about the Yankees back in the 70s. That's how far back. And the Reds back in the early 70s. Dodgers win 104 games, don't even get in the stinking playoffs. So don't get me wound up here. But anyway, that's back in the days when they just had two of the Reds would win 108, we'd win 104. You know, and then, whatever. But that's old school. But anyway, I'm just saying that you don't want to get – you don't want somebody to think – I mean, baseball, it's a game of failure. It's a mental – it's so mental case.
It is.
You know, and I'm not telling people that know baseball – I'm not telling anybody. This is no earth-shattering information here. But it's so mental, and you don't want those guys thinking that they can beat you, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know on the major league level, that's stupid. Everybody can beat everybody a given day. They're all got major league players. It's like the NFL. Everybody
Absolutely. Has
NFL players.
And the Padres have great players.
And they got great players. They got better players than most people in the big leagues. They're in the top five, I'd say, the whole big leagues as far as talent level. So
absolutely.
That's what, even more reason, like, you like to keep little brother down a little bit. And I think that's where we're all coming from.
Hey, here's a great point by David E. He says, "Good evening to me and yourself, Coach."
Hi, David.
"Walker Buehler still has that dog in him. I'm okay with this L in May." Here's another part of this that's great. The Dodgers are going to win the NL West. They have this big lead. They have a great record. All this, right? So that gives them the leeway to incorporate a guy like Walker Buehler without feeling like you're going to lose the division because of it. So the Dodgers are able to have this type of setting that you have to stay patient with, because you know in the end Walker Buehler what he's capable of if everything gets back to normal. So I think part of this too is the fact that the Dodgers, hey, I think if they were felt like that their playoffs lives were going to be in jeopardy, all that, they might immediately throw him into the bullpen and limit him to 35 pitches an outing or something like that, trying to be in win mode versus process mode. But because they have such a great record and such a great team, they're able to handle the Walker Buehler situation through a process lens and not a results lens. Now, that has a termination point. Walker Buehler mentioned that today. At some point, you got to get out of the process. It is the major leagues, and then it has to become about results, but we're not to that point yet.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately? Walker gets, like I said, he's a veteran. He's a major league veteran. He gets that part. What we need, we being the Dodgers and him, Walker, is to come out and have us put a five spot on somebody in the top of the first before he ever takes a stinking mound.
Yeah. Well, good point.
Again, the process. Today he had no room for error. He had no room for error. You know, we're not scoring any runs. We're not getting any hits. He don't have any choice. Today, if he gave up one, he loses. You know, that's where you are on that deal. So, you know, be nice. You know, with this offense, it's very capable of doing this every time they walk out there to throw it through a four spot on somebody in the, early in the game where a guy can, he's, you know, he's not going to start coasting. I'm not saying that, but he has, he can make pitches. They can call certain different pitches in different situations where he didn't have that fine, he didn't have that fine line on everything. You know, it's like I had somebody tell me years ago, and you, of course, you're a baseball guy, and everybody that's on here is, baseball just boring. One or nothing game. I said, that's one or nothing game's the exact opposite. Every freaking pitch is important.
Everything.
Every pitch, everything is magnified. One error can get you beat. One thing, you know, one mental mistake can get you beat. That's I'm more into a one nothing game than a 10-0. I'm ready to go get some popcorn and hot dog and kick back on a 10-0 myself. But the 1-0 is the most important game of baseball. The most exciting game to me, because are they bunting here? They're not bunting here. You know, God, that pitch, he missed that pitch. The umpire missed. What do we throw that for? Everything, every pitch is important. That's why it's exciting to us guys who love baseball, like me and you and everybody on here.
Yeah, and that's why probably Buehler felt like he couldn't make a mistake today because it was to him, it's like, I can't give up a run at this point because the offense, that's a good point, coach. So, you know, he's still in process mode, but having to feel like he's having to pitch to results because the offense didn't score. So that's just not a good match at this point. So you got to give that. We said it when Walker Buehler coming back, you got to be patient with it. Okay. Yep. You got to be patient and let him work his way back in. And again, the beauty of that is the Dodgers have the team, enough wins, the win-loss record to where they have the ability to have as much patience as they need with James Altman, as much patience as they need with Gavin Lux and or Andy Páez if he hits a rough patch, which most rookies do, or whoever it may be, whether it be Max Muncy or whatever it is. The Dodgers have the ability to look long-term and say, okay, when we go into the playoffs in October, what is our best nine? We need to get our best nine in the best position to play and our best pitchers. So you got to be patient from that aspect. So one of the comments here is runners in scoring position. We mentioned the statistics on the weekend, just simply were not good on Saturday, 5 runs, but still even in the Saturday game, just 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Mentioned that maybe some offensive substitutions, but that's one of those things I will say, hey, we're having a great conversation. I love cussing and discussing this. That goes back to that, the calling pitches that I mentioned a minute ago. Hey, that's one of those deals. Your bench basically was what, James Altman and Gavin Lux, two guys that we mentioned have struggled mightily this year. That's literally, those are those types of decisions I don't really ever question, because those are absolutely darned if you do, darned if you don't.
Yeah, like I said, we don't have all the information those guys have. I don't know what those guys are hitting. I mean, I know I could look it up, but I don't know what those guys are hitting against Darvish. And, you know, while I put them in there, like I said, they hadn't really hit anybody real well this year. You know, it's kind of one of those deals. So, you know, it's just something they're going to have to work on. But, yeah, you didn't have a whole lot of options there coming off the bench. And you just got days like that. I mean – you know, you struggle. You, like I said, you still got the big three up top there. Well, you got the big two up there. Well, Will's been pretty good, but you don't have Ohtani. You don't have that guy. So, you know, you don't have the one that you really need up there for whatever reason. So there's a lot of things that go into every game, and it's just one of those. We'll just move on from it. But I'm like you, losing 2 out of 3 is not a good look. But, you know, it's 159 other ones, and maybe we can make something happen.
Yeah. 1-for-19 with running in scoring position last 3 games that we mentioned. Does some of that have to do maybe with swinging for the fences too much? I don't think it is.
Yeah.
And just kind of to go to the show, let me give, of course, Ohtani was not in the lineup today. Had a 107 mile an hour double. Okay, he has a 32% center percentage. Freddie Freeman, you know, I mentioned the other day the Dodgers hit, I think it was 3 home runs, because Max Muncy hit an opposite field home run. Freddie Freeman hit one. Shohei Ohtani hit one. And they were all either dead center or opposite field. And when you're hitting opposite field home runs or home runs to dead center like the Padres did today, that is a dead giveaway that you're not trying to hit a home run. You're just trying to hit the ball where it's pitched, and you're trying to hit it hard. So I really think way less than even in years past, because you've inserted Will Smith, who's definitely a gap-to-gap type of hitter. Of course, T.O., you did add a boomer bust guy. We know that. That is what it is. But I think Shohei Ohtani, you add him, he's not a guy who's trying to hit home runs. He's a guy that's trying to hit it hard. Mookie Betts is just trying to be a great hitter. Freddie Freeman's trying to be a great hitter. The problem, the reason why it looks like that is a guy like maybe Gavin Lux, who needs to be your bat-to-ball guy at the bottom of the lineup, isn't producing. So on days like today, it looks like that. But I do not think – I've complained about this in the past. I don't think the Dodgers are swinging for the fences every pitch. I don't think they have a lineup constructed that way as much as in the past.
No, I agree. I think in the past I always felt that way. You know, I know a lot of talk about Chris Taylor now. I mean, dude always – I mean, maybe since the way he's always been, I mean, dude's always swinging for the fence, it seems like. And
if you're going to have him on your roster, you're going to have to accept that because that's how he does things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what he's always been. I mean, it's something new there. Now he's not hitting very well, and, you know, the alarm bells are going off, but he's always had – he's always been that way. And, you know, we know what you got with Muncy and those guys. So, but I'm like you. I don't think it's an offensive unit that you see the, you know, the doer, you know, it's either boom or bust. I'm going to hit a home run or whatever to strike out. I'm sick of that anyway. I'm old and I hate that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care how many times to strike out. I'm going to hit a home run or nothing. And, well, you know, I'm old. I want to move runners.
Well, what if that home run comes up and we're already up five and there's nobody on base? What good you do us now, right?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. Yeah, I've seen a lot of those. You're down 7-0, you hit one 5-20. ESPN's got it on. Big. Oh, hey, great. You know, who cares? You know, I've told here, I mean, you probably have two cases as a coach. Hey, anybody can hit with no pressure on you. It's not true, but I have told kids anybody can hit with no pressure on you.
It's easier.
It's easier to hit when there's no pressure on you. When it's 3-2, bottom of the seventh, state final, whatever it may be, there's pressure on you, and you got a guy throwing 95 on the mound, and he's painting, and you're just trying to hang on for dear life.
You're talking about the double there that you guys got Thursday night by Tyner?
Yes.
That was sweet, wasn't it?
Whether or not Little Holiday had a 13-pitch at bat in there.
Matt's boy or Josh's boy?
That's Josh's boy.
Yeah, Brady. Nice.
That's probably how we got the pitcher who was shoving it, you know, to us.
He was shoving.
And that's probably why, but he got to the 120 marks. You know, Case, Oklahoma had to take him out. But
yeah.
When Brady gets out, he's 13 or 15 pitch at bat, and about eight of them are foul balls in the parking lot. And this kid's a freshman, but he gets it. You know, he's our leadoff guy. He takes a lot of pitches. But that added up to when we were able to get the guy out, you know, so things like that happen. But every bat, you know, even on the major league level, you know, I mean, I know they're – I mean, they keep pitch counts too for a reason. Mm-hmm. So you got to work those guys.
Neil Casamoto, good evening. Mookie needs to get on base two or three times a game. Otherwise, the offense can't score. Johnny Owen says that's what a leadoff hitter is supposed to do. And the great thing about Mookie Betts is, yes, he's a leadoff hitter. Yes, he gets on base. But he also drives in runs. He does hit home runs. So he's kind of that Ricky Henderson mold that, yes, he's a leadoff hitter. Yes, he's going to score runs. But he can also do a lot of other things. But the problem is when the bottom of your lineup's not getting on base and giving him chances, he's not going to drive in as many runs as well. So, you know, that's kind of a double-edged sword. He's not able to drive in runs because the bottom lineup's not on base. And then also – you know, from that aspect, if he's not getting on base, then the meat of your lineup can't drive in runs as well. So, yes, Mookie Betts, no doubt, is a centerpiece of this offense.
Yeah, like you said, we've all used the term turn the lineup over. That's, you know, as long as you didn't have a pitcher hitting down there 9-0 in the major leagues, but you turn the lineup over. What that means is what you just said. The bottom lineup, I need you guys need to get on, then we get our leadoff guy up. Mm-hmm. You know, in our case, the Dodgers' case, not our case, the Dodgers' case, when you turn lineup over, Mookie Betts walking in there. I mean, that takes a whole different look. And then look who's standing on the on-deck circle right behind him. Get you some of that, you know. So that's why it's important. It's like you said, Case, that bottom of that order, especially now that the pitchers aren't hitting, you know, we used to always say, hey, put the worst hitter at 8-hole. Well, I guess everybody probably still kind of does that sort of thing. But you sure aren't putting your worst hitter at 9-hole. You got to have some guy that can turn the lineup over and get your big dogs up, or as Coach Lee's called Ethan Holliday this year, the big tuna. I don't know where he came up with all that, but we kind of laughed about it. And we started kind of calling that in clutch situations. You know, get the big boy up with some ducks on the pond. So.
We're pretty spoiled. We're saying all this and we're talking about all the things the Dodgers need to do or aren't doing and all this. By the way, they're in first place by 5.5 games still over the Padres. 27-15. which is the second best record in all of baseball. Yep. So, like we said, the Dodgers, they have the ability to play the process game, the long game, the long run game, if you will, to mix and match, figure out exactly what they need. I know Roy Estrada says, I've been saying this all season long, we need two more solid starters and a reliever. Pitching will keep games close and give us time to score runs. Well, you just added Blake Treinen. The thing about the relief pitching aspect of it, it just seems like it's the whack-a-mole game, right? You just got, of course, Daniel Hudson comes back, and he's healthy again this year off the ACL tear from years past. And then Blake Treinen goes on the IL, right? And then you get Blake Treinen back, and then Joe Kelly goes on the IL. And then Evan Phillips goes on the IL. Bruiser Gratterall has been on the IL. Kyle Hurt goes on the IL. Bobby Miller goes on the IL. Emmett Sheehan, who was supposed to be a staple of this pitching staff, he's on the IL. So here's the deal. The Dodgers are 27-15. They're 5.5 games in first place, and they have a whole bunch of guys that are going to come back. They're going to be rolling back into this. At some point, when everybody gets healthy, you're going to have a surplus by quite a bit. So I wouldn't say you need to go out and get any pitching at this point, because you're already in the lead by 5.5. And then if you do that, now you start getting Kyle Hurt back. Then you start getting Sheehan back. Then Buehler, he works his way back in, and he's starting to feel more comfortable about it. Then Evan Phillips comes back and all this stuff. Now at that point, what do you do, right? I mean, so – and James Paxton has been very good, okay? Gavin Stone has been very good. Tyler Glasnow has been an absolute ace. Yoshinobu Yamamoto has been an absolute ace. So three of your pitchers right now in Yamamoto, Glasnow, and Paxton – from a strictly, of course, if you add Paxton because of results, have been aces in terms of results. No other team has three aces right now. Then you have Gavin Stone, who's been simply fantastic. And then you have a whole bunch of guys coming back. Walker Buehler's back now. You're going to get Bobby Miller back. All these guys, right? So, I mean, you have a lot of depth coming. It's just you're dealing with injuries and you're still 12 games. What you don't want to do is knee-jerk and go out and just start getting a whole bunch of guys just – because, right?
No, I totally agree. And like you said, as you were talking, I was just thinking the word auditioning comes into mind.
Yes.
And they're going, the guys who are there now who are in those situations, they're auditioning for the long haul. Because like you said, Case, when the Cats get back, the Stars or whoever guys that we know are proven, they get back and they're healthy. You know, like you said, then you got to piece together a roster, you know. Who's going down, or
who do you not want? Do you not want Bobby Miller to be in the rotation? Do you not want Gavin? Do you want to send Gavin Stone down? Yep. Do you not want James? I mean, who do you not want to be in this rotation?
Yeah,
right.
That's what I mean. Everybody's auditioning. I mean, in the big scale, even I used to always tell our kids, we evaluate you every day. Either you're getting evaluated by me or the coaching staff,
sure,
or you're getting evaluated by the guy in the other dugout who maybe has a brother who's a college coach or a pro scout, or maybe he's on the All-State selection committee team. At some point, your name comes up in a meeting. I'm saying somebody's always evaluating you. You know, where they are right now, they're getting it every day too. And by the way, they got a whole line of guys in the minor leagues who want their stinking jobs.
Absolutely.
Know, and they're coming. And then some of them are very close to being ready to take your job. So, you know, there's that also. So they're auditioning. Last year was a great example. It was close when those young pitchers had to come in. It was very close. The race was tight, and and they were able to pull away. So those auditions, in my mind, went pretty stinking good. I wish we still had all those guys. We kind of
Paxton's audition has been good.
Absolutely. So I think what you're seeing, you know, the guys, they know. I mean, they know the business. It's exactly what it is. You produce, or unfortunately, we got to find somebody who will. He may be on another team, or he may be in Oklahoma City. Who knows? Maybe that rascal's in Tulsa. I know Tulsa's having a little rough year, so he may not be in Tulsa right now. But
they're struggling.
He'll get them going. He'll get them going. My brother-in-law texts me one day. Goes, "Oh man, you don't want to come over to a game. It's kind of ugly, but it'll be okay. You know, they'll get it lined up." But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, you don't know where that's coming from. You know. Get closer to the trading, you know, are you ready to make a trade there? Is somebody not quite healthy? Are the guys that are auditioning now not performing or not what you thought they were going to be or what they need to be? So it's an ongoing, never-ending process, even when you're the Dodgers with the greatest team offensive team put together in a 5.5-game lead that's just going to get bigger. You still never stop that process. That's why those guys get paid a lot of money, and that's what they do on a daily basis.
Neil Casimoto says Mookie is stuck in homer or bust mode. Yeah, that happens to him from time to time, not very often. But, hey, Matty Man 5 says if Buehler can hit 97, I have faith he'll land the off-speed stuff in time. Yeah, again, that Tommy John, man, things just don't feel the same, right? And usually it's those secondaries and the command that takes a hit because of that. Is Verlander worth a look? No, I don't think any starting pitcher is worth a look right now because, again, you're going to get back. I mean, who are you going to replace? You don't want Bobby Miller in your rotation? You don't want to give Walker Buehler time? So right now, if Walker Buehler figures it out, right, Bobby Miller comes back, that gives you a logjam already, right? So, I mean, it's going to be the Dodgers have who they need. It's just a matter of getting healthy, staying patient, and playing the long run game to have the best roster you possibly. Now, if it's obvious come trade deadline that either guys aren't going to get healthy like you need them to be, or they're going to get healthy like a Dustin May, and it's not going to be in time to add the word that you use to give them the proper audition, then at that point, yeah, maybe you go out and get a starter. Now, I will say, if you're going to tell me the Dodgers are going to go get, say, a Tanner Scott, I wouldn't argue with any of that, right? Wouldn't argue with that at all. So if you want to say maybe the Dodgers need to go get a reliever or two, I wouldn't argue with you there, but it would have to be somebody elite that, I mean, you know, of course, the reliever position is very volatile to begin with, but it would have to be a guy that would reduce the risk of somebody coming to the Dodgers and not being good. So, hey, Johnny Owen, so that's my comments or my thoughts on Verlander. Michael Carrillo says, I hope Ohtani is not hurt. No doubt about that. Dodger fan, do we trade for Randy Arozarena? This goes back to your point of auditioning. Jason Hayward is getting ready to come back. There is another guy that's a solid major leaguer that is going to have an audition period with the Dodgers as well. So if he can bring you some offense from the left side, he would be a big addition to this offense as well.
And I don't think you close the door to anything. I've always liked Randy Arozarena as a player. Like I said, he's a guy that the Dodgers aren't stupid. If they have an opportunity to pull something there at some point, I don't think they would. You know, I don't think they'd shy away from something like that. You know, back in the several years ago, I might have said they would have, you know, because we brought in the washed up guys all the time. Mm-hmm. I keep getting harping on that. I'll shut up about that because they went crazy this year. Went and got a bunch of stars the last couple of years. But anyway, you know, that's just something that we'll see how it pans out. And it could change, but, you know, I like the way they're heading, but you're not going to turn your back on Randy Arozarena comes up. And hey, we're figured out by all accounts, he's a solid major leaguer, good defense player, good hitter, great in the clubhouse. That comes from Matt Holliday, who knows the guy very well. So I trust what he has said, but he says a lot of great things about him. So that's a guy. But like I said, Case, it's also a results-oriented business.
He's going to cost you all your prospects, too.
Yep, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of give and take on both of those. Yeah. And at some point, you give the guy a hug and say, thanks for everything you've done here, but we've got to do this.
Matty Man 5 is bringing his egg. Yeah, Matty Man 5 is bringing his A game, coach. We say this all the time. Sick of the umpire call whining. Just hit the damn ball. 100%, coach, because even if the umpire is bad, right, okay, there's a saying in baseball, you can only control what you can control. You can't control the umpire. So don't leave it into his hands, right? I mean, if that Michael King two-seam is starting out over the plate and it's, okay, 2 inches off the plate, hey, I've done plenty of it, right? Okay. My dad's going to be in the, he was a Big 12 official for however many years, right? Yep. Okay. He's refereed national championship games. Okay. I can tell you, umpiring is not very easy. We watch it on TV and we see that ball land an inch and a half off the plate. We're like, oh my God, blah, 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 right? Okay. So I only say that to say umpiring is not easy. Don't leave it up to their hands. Hit the damn ball. I agree with Matty Man 5.
I agree with Matty Man 5, too, and I've said that several times, coaching at third base. I got kid to back out and look at you like with the palms up like,
yeah.
And my response is always, what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah,
I
can't do anything about
I can't control. I can't control him. And you can't either. Like you said, Case, you have to try to adjust to what you can control. We can't control the weather. Can't control an umpire. You know, most of the time my wife won't let me control her. She tells me, shut up, go take your trash out. You know, just certain things you have no control over. So don't worry. I mean, if I got, like, I've said this year, this guy's calling two or three baseballs outside.
Yeah.
I said, what happened the other day in the state tournament? Told a kid, get up. We already know this guy's got a big zone and is jumping around. Especially with two strikes, get up on the plate. You got to foul that ball off.
Or don't get to two strikes.
Yeah, or if you don't, hopefully you don't get to two strikes. I'm just telling you, if he's calling it, we've got to do something with it. You can't sit there and keep looking at me.
I don't know what to say, brother.
The international sign for what the hell. Well, yeah, right. Okay, what the hell? Okay. But then I go back to, okay, it's a next pitch business. Just go
and that's not a plan.
Move on, dude. Yes. I can't help you. Move on. The next pitch is coming. You know, it's one of those, talking to somebody, hey, coach, kid's ready to play? Hell, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
We'll see. All I know is we're prepared. We've done this. I fill out a lineup card. I think he's good. And then you go up there and they may all stink and they want to fire me. You know, but so don't ask me if they're ready to play because we've done the best we can to try, as we say, Case, here in Oklahoma, the hay's in the barn.
Yep, no doubt.
I don't know if anybody else says that, but it's too late. Here's the team we got. Let's go. Hey, Principal Holt, are you ready for school to start? Does it matter? It's August 9th. August 9th, those suckers are coming in that door. We're ready or not. So, same thing. It's all the same.
If he's calling that pitch and the other guy's executing it, you got to figure out the difference between a reason and an excuse, okay? They're both the same until, you know, a reason is here's why something happened. Here's my plan to fix it. Yeah. Now, I might not be able to execute this plan and I might strike out again, but at least I have a plan, right?
Yep.
An excuse is, well, I don't really have a plan. I'm just wanting to be pissed about this and wanting to blame somebody else, right? So it,
I'll at go some back point, to Bob Stoops analytics. I blame somebody else because I couldn't get it done.
Okay. Yeah, right. Hey, Noah Ortega says, Stone got revenge by picking off Acuna at second base when he was trying to steal third because last year Acuna was successful. Orlando says, lack of energy this whole series. I would agree with that. But I will say this, Coach, the only way really to shoot energy into your team, no matter what the sport is to score.
Yeah.
When you're not scoring, I don't care how many times you try to get your dugout hyped, it always looks like you're not playing with energy because there's just frustration, there's tenseness. So I would say I don't know if it's a lack of energy or just a lack of scoring because I've never seen a team that's not scoring be very excited about much.
Well, no, I've just recently talked about this amongst our staff. Hitting's contagious.
Yes.
You sit there and you stinking's contagious. Our team got three hits Friday. We hit about 305 or 3 something as a team. We got three hits against an average pitcher. That's what I'm saying. But there's other games, the game before that, where we got no hit through 5 innings, end up scoring 6 runs, last 2 innings winning. All of a sudden, the hitting's contagious. Boom, 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 a hit there, a hit there. And Ethan Holliday hit one arm, hits a 3-run homer. Okay, it's, blah, 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 next inning. We'll walk Ethan Holliday, load the base. The next guy hits a bases clearing double. You know, it's contagious. It's somebody else has to step up, you know. You're not getting it done. I need somebody else to step up and do it. And it's the next pitch business. And like I said, it's exactly what it is. When you're stinking, it's hard. You know, no matter how much you say, get the energy up, let's go.
Yeah,
get the energy up,
hard,
the dog, keep it going. They're, in the back of their mind, they got to be saying, God, Lord, man, this guy's breaking it off at 94. The umpire's giving him 2 balls outside.
Yeah.
What the hell? What do you want me to do? I mean, I'll try, coach.
Right.
But, you know, so that's just the whole – that's the beauty of this game. To me, don't take the human element out of it. I do enjoy watching down at Oklahoma City with the automated balls and strikes. But
awesome.
Dude, I don't take the human element out of it. Some parts of the game I think you should.
Yeah.
You know, with a fair or foul ball down the line, put some stinking radars out there. We can see it on the line or whatever.
Yeah,
that's something like on a football. Get some radars. Get some. Something on the line there. Did the ball cross the goal line? Touchdown.
Yeah, right.
I don't care what else I see.
Yeah.
If that ball cross, you know what I'm saying? There's some things like that that in my feeble mind and sitting around thinking about it, that some things like that could happen. But, you know, otherwise, the human element's the human element.
Yep.
The umpire don't like you, and he rings
figure
one
it out.
And you turn
figure
around and look at him. Guess what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And he ain't going to say a word. He's going to ring your tail up first chance he gets, and he will do it. I would
about
do it. Hell, I would do it, and I've never umpired in my life.
Yeah, about 10 years ago, we were facing Michael Fulmer when he was at Deer Creek. Michael Fulmer, who pitched in the major leagues for the Detroit Tigers. And he was throwing about 98, 99 for high schoolers. And we were good, Coach. We were a state semifinal team. And he struck out the first three. He came in relief behind a guy named Chris Anderson, who played Division I baseball, was throwing about 93 all night. And so Fulmer comes in, and although we had seen 93 for two at-bats, when he came in, of course, it was the time of day where the sun was just going down, you know, so you couldn't hardly pick up the ball. And, I mean, it was like, geez. So Chapel's losing his mind because we're striking out. You got to compete, you know, all that kind of stuff. And finally, one of our kids, who was like an all-state safety, turns around and goes, Coach, you try to get in and hit this crap, right? There he goes. There's nobody in the state of Oklahoma, including the people at Bricktown, that can hit this guy right now, right? So sometimes, yeah, the other team. But I will say that going back to what Johnny's saying, I know we're getting off topic here a little bit, but whenever you're not hitting, it does look listless. It does look like you don't have as much energy. Whenever you do hit, it gets contagious. You have a whole lot of fun. Freddie Freeman's doing that dance, so it, you know, and Kike Hernandez is dancing up and down the dugout. But when you're not hitting, those dances don't happen, and it does look like you don't have as much energy. Noah's on the other side. I'm not too bummed because of how great our starters and bullpen did. Kenny Chung, no sense of urgency in this series. And then Michael Carrillo is in the house as well. Yeah, Matty Man 5 Arenado could be one of those change of scenery type guys. Yeah, he would cost quite a bit. Orlando, there were a lot of hanging breaking balls Dodgers batters didn't punish. Missed opportunities. Talk about that. That hitting on every level, especially when you have professionals, is all about hitting mistakes. Hey, Neil Casamoto, this team has no late comebacks and only one win in extra innings. Is that concerning?
I think it is.
They've been on cruise control for their wins, and then they only have one win in extra innings. What do you attribute to that?
Good question. That's a great question. But there is something to that, Case. We've seen that. The teams that win late, you know, they're behind. They make a late push. They never give up. You know, they're never out of a game. I mean, use whatever terminology you want to use. There is, but you'll see the teams, and it'll always show up on the TV screen, have won this many one-run games, have won this many extra inning games, have won this many games after trailing after seven. You know, you get all that information, but there is something to that. You know, we call them front runners. You know, you get the lead, and you just cruise, you look pretty, you play pretty, everybody's pretty, and you win. Yeah, that's all good. Somebody hits you in the mouth, like I said, like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan to get hit in the nose, get hit in the mouth. It's true. You know, you get in a cruise control, but then somebody pops you one. How do you respond to it? And there is something to that. I'm not ready to say the Dodgers are front runners. We don't have enough information on that. You know, there's not enough sample size on that yet to make that determination. But to answer his question, is that a concern? I would say that's a concern, yes.
Yeah. Well, I would say that maybe if you want to look at the later innings, you're getting into the best pitchers in the bullpen that the other team has. If you want to not be happy about the fact the Dodgers aren't coming back in late innings, there's no team ever in this generation that's ever been good at that. No. Because when you're down two runs against the type of bullpen arms, even the worst teams in baseball are thrown out there in the eighth and ninth innings. I mean, just from an analytical perspective, your chance of winning that game if you're down two runs, even in the eighth inning, is like 20-something percent. So that's not really something to be frustrated with. What I would say is there's been a lot of games that the Dodgers got behind, and because this lineup is so relentless, like in the fourth or fifth or sixth inning, the Dodgers took control of a game that didn't start off well. So I do think the Dodgers actually are a good comeback team. I just don't think you see it in the eighth and ninth innings, because I don't think you see that with any team.
Yeah. No, you're not going to. Like I said, Case, go back to what we said earlier. High school kids are all in the 90s now. The college guys are all 95 and above. So it tells you what's going on in the big leagues. Everybody they bring out of the bullpen, to use your dad's term, is blowing snot.
Yeah.
It's blowing snot when they come out of the pen out there. And they're letting it fly. Every pitch, a snot's flying, and they're bringing it. Because you know what?
Good luck.
It's what they get paid to do. I had a buddy tell me he was in the major leagues, and they had a guy who knew when he's coming in, he'd go in the clubhouse, get one cup of beer, drink his one cup of beer, and then go warm up. That's how. And you know, the guy was an all-star reliever. I'm not going to mention any names, but you know, the guy was an all-star reliever for several years. So you know, his job. Hey, I'm coming in, and I'm probably going to come in with people on base. I'm coming in when it's time. I'm not coming in with 10-0. I'm coming in with pressure, and I'm bringing, like you said. And nowadays, everybody's got them.
And I'm coming in because I'm good.
Everybody's blowing them. Everybody's running those. Worst team in Major League Baseball is going to run some cats out there that are going to make you shake your head and wonder how you're going to get a hit off of you.
So. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, though. This is an interesting deal. I mentioned a trade deadline. That's just kind of a phrase. This is a good point that's getting brought up here, Coach, in the chat. I believe it's Norm. Yeah, Norm Lee. That the Arias deal, you know, that's a target as far as a middle infielder, a contact bat-to-ball type guy that the Padres just got in a trade, and they really cut the Dodgers out from underneath that situation, because I do think that's a guy that the Dodgers were going to target. So we say trade deadline just kind of as a phrase, but I do think that if the Dodgers feel like they need to shore up their roster, that goes to show you that they need to – I don't know if they can afford to wait until the last day of July. If they think that they definitely have – a hole in their roster, they need to be filling it right now, because the Padres showed that other teams might beat that trade deadline, because we know the trade deadline isn't as good as it used to be, because there's more teams that are contending, because there's more playoff spots, and because of that, there's less teams that are giving up on the year, like Miami is right now. And so because there's less teams giving up on the year, all of these teams that are two or three games out of the wild card, they're not going to sell a really good reliever or a shortstop and tell their fan base, hey, I know we're only two games out of the playoffs from a wild card perspective, but we're going to trade our best shortstop or our best reliever. They're not going to do that unless they're getting a massive overpay in return.
No, and like I said, at this point, I will say this about the Padres. As everybody knows, obviously I've said it 40 times, I'm not a big fan, but I will say this about them. They're not standing pat. I'll give them credit. Those cats, they've gone out in the last couple of years. More power to them. And, dude, they're not sitting back like bowing down to anybody. You know, they may not end up winning, but they're not standing pat. They're going out and they're getting cats. And they're getting pitchers, and they're doing what they have to do. They're getting some stars in there, and they're getting some good players. And, you know, they're not standing pat. So they're like, no, we're not. We're not satisfied. And like I said, how could you be? This is major leagues. People get fired every day for not winning. So there's no standing pat. There's no 5-year plans in the major leagues.
Yeah.
Get your tail out here. If you don't win, we're going to send you up the road and bring somebody else in here. You know, and the Giants went out and got some players. Of course, they're not very good, but they at least try to make some moves. If you're in the division with the Dodgers, you better do something or you're going to get buried. And most of them may get buried anyway, but I do have a little respect for a group like the Padres who are still they're not bound down to anybody.
Nope.
And the Dodgers, you know, 5.5 is 5.5, but it also could turn down to 2.5 or 3.5 pretty quick. So those cats are – I don't think they're disappearing anytime soon. I don't think there's any doubt the Dodgers are the class of the division, but I don't think they're going away anytime soon. And who knows? They may go get somebody else. I don't know where they're finding all their money. I guess all the money the Dodgers brought in by coming to town maybe help them out.
I think this also shows that you don't want the Padres in a 3-game series. No. If anything, you want them in the 7-game series or at the least a 5-game series. A 3-game series, they're going to throw Darvish at you. They're going to have a guy like King that could throw that sinker that's unique enough to beat you. If you have a bad couple of days, man, it's tough. And then they have stars that can score a couple of runs.
Yep.
And so do not want the Padres in a 3-game series. By the way, we have a Padres fan in the chat. And welcome, Padres Lover 619. Shout out to Dodger Nation. Broke attendance record yesterday and the series attendance record today in San Diego. No Ohtani today. You guys will be fine. Still the best team in baseball. Happy Mother's Day. Norm Lee, I hope Friedman, thank you so much for joining Padres Lover 619, and thank you for the great back and forth and mutual respect for two great franchises. That is awesome. Norm Lee, I hope Friedman realizes he needs to upgrade center field, either shortstop or second, and the bench. This is not a lineup that wins in the playoffs because they lack a contact hitter to ensure consistency. Well, Arias is off the board, and we would have to go back. Austin's better at this. Matter of fact, on Wednesday's show, we'll go through some of the outfield and then middle infield prospects that the Dodgers might target if they decide that they need to target somebody in those positions on the field. No Ortega, if we get Roky Sasaki, that's for next year. He's going to be a real completion to be in the five-man rotation. They're auditioning for next year. Kenny Chung, yep, good evening, Kenny. Nando 390, Tatis Jr. had, let's see. All right, Norm Lee, I have said I don't believe Will Smith is in the same category of the top three. His valleys are pretty ugly, and they usually occur at the All-Star break, but he's going through it now. He's a catcher. Will Smith is a catcher. Catchers have valleys because they wears what's called the tools of ignorance. Like, for instance, Dalton Rushing, I messaged him, the Dodgers' number one prospect, about a week ago. He got hit by a foul ball in the wrong spot, right? And, I mean, he got hit flush. And, I mean, it's like he got shot. And I messaged him. I said, hey, man, they call that the tools of ignorance for a reason, right? He goes, yeah, man, that's been happening to me way too much. Eddie Daves, you know Eddie. He was your hero growing up there in Guthrie. Only first-round draft pick at Guthrie High School. He will tell you he was a first-round draft pick by the Cardinals as a catcher. He caught, what, 8, 9, 10 years in the minor leagues, made it all the way up to AAA. If you haven't heard of him, it's because you have heard of Ted Simmons, who was a Hall of Fame catcher for the Cardinals, and Ted never got hurt, so Eddie never got his shot. Eddie will tell you, as a catcher, by about the third, by about mid-May, you can't feel your left hand because you've caught 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. You've jammed your thumb on the left-handed sliders. You've gotten 96-mile-an-hour fastballs to hit that are in on the hands or out on your barrel. You can't feel your left hand, your knees. You're so beat up by the middle of May that being a catcher and then also trying to be a good offensive player, there's going to be those valleys because it's just so hard to do.
Well, most of the great catchers weren't great offensive players. I think, you know, Pudge Rodriguez comes to mind as a guy who was pretty offensive, but, you know, Yadier Molina. I mean, you know, he had his moments, but they all had peaks and valleys. Like I said, they get beat up. I mean, just like Eddie says right there. I mean, it's they get hammered. It's hard for a catcher to be, you know, to come out and be a pretty boy. They're not pretty boys. They have to be down the dirt and dirty and do the dirty work for everybody. And they're going to have the peaks and valleys. And you know, Will is no doubt one of the best catchers in the major leagues, and I'm glad we got him. But yeah, that's just something I think you're going to have to live with. I mean, the Cardinal fans could care less that Yachty was hitting 240, 250 as a Tiger. I don't know what it was. It might have been more than that, but he wasn't. I'm sure it's higher than that. But you know, that wasn't the guy they depended on for offense. That's the guy they depended on to keep people from running and calling pitches and handling pitching staff and doing all those things. So it's arguably maybe the most important position on the field, and no doubt the toughest position on the field.
Yeah. Hey, if we have a bunch of comments, and we have a great crowd tonight, and Coach Holt and I are getting into a pretty good conversation. So if we have, and this was a Dodgers-Padres series, so if there are a couple of, I believe the term on social media nowadays is trolls, instead of arguing with them back and forth, just ignore it. Eventually I'll get to it and delete their comments, but so go ahead and do that. So, hey, Coach, this has been a great show tonight. It's been a frustrating weekend. No doubt about it. We covered all that. We got all of our frustration out. But, again, not going to go dark. The Dodgers are going to win the NL West. They're going to win over 100 games. Having said that, this did feel like a playoff-type preview, especially if you play the Padres in a wild card round or something like that, or in a three-game series and that type of setting. So, yeah, it's – there's a little bit of both on both sides, but final thoughts from you, Coach.
Well, I just think it's the same thing. There's some frustration there on that part of it. But of course, I appreciate the Padres fan who messaged in and said the nice things and Happy Mother's Day, especially Happy Mother's Day to all the Dodger mothers out there and everybody that's on your chat here, Case. But it's, you know, if it was easy, everybody could do it. We say that all the time. If it's easy, everybody could do it. There's nothing easy about what the Dodgers are trying to do, or any other major league team, or NFL, or NBA. There's nothing. Us as fans sit back and drink our beer and you know, take a nap when it's bored, whatever, and have our opinions. But, you know, there's nothing easy about what those guys are doing. But you just want to, you know, it was a frustrating series, but, you know, we may reel off 10 in a row. We may not. 10 wins in a row, may not, but whatever the case may be. But this is the beauty of it. You know, the Padres, again, I got a lot of respect for the talent they got and the way they're going about their business.
I like Mike Schilt, too. I think he's a good
absolutely.
Dude.
Absolutely. That dude's a fighter. He showed that when he's at St. Louis and a lot of things. And Matt Holliday spoke pretty highly of him, as a matter of fact, well.
He's a good man.
He'll create chemistry.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, and he's tough. He's a tough guy, and he's going to promote that amongst his team. So, they're not going away, but okay, you know. We won it by 15 games last year. We didn't win the World Series, so I'll take a win the division by two, whatever, and go win the World Series. You know, I remember back several teams to go in the wild card and win the World Series. You know, teams that get hot at the right time, they're healthy, play well, play for each other, play game the right way. You know, that's what you're looking for. And I think, like we've talked here before, those teams that are in the wild card that don't have those days off, usually the ones that are playing the best at the end of the year. I hate that time off with those. Yeah, I know the managers do too. They try to have inter-squad games. They try everything, stay on top of it. That's another discussion for later on in the year, but that's part of the process. You know, there's a lot of things between now and then that you have to do. And, as a coach, I envy what those guys do every day. I don't envy the pressure they're under because it is life and it is their life decisions in their lives, what they're having to do here. Not life and death. I mean life as far as their livelihood, that sort of thing. So, but it's awesome, and I love the passion of the other guys and ladies who get on here with you on the chat awesome. Case. I'm probably glad I don't see them all. Maybe some of them tell me to shut up, but they haven't heard Chapel talk yet. Chapel's the only guy from Guthrie that can out-talk me. So,
I hear you.
So Coach Chap is – I love Coach Chap. I love that guy. But anyway, thanks to all the Dodger fans and, like I said, the Padre fans that gave the good words right there. That's what competition's all about. Even the guys, I don't see them, but even those guys are catting in, they're calling in, they're throwing some shade at the Dodgers. That's part of the deal, too. That's okay. Let it rip, man. It ain't all going to be pretty, and we can take it. You know,
they got bragging rights, Coach.
Yeah, you got to dish it, you got to take it, and they just beat us 2 out of 3, so we're going to have to take it, but bring it on. That's how this is. It's competitive nature that we all got, so let's go.
I know you just finished, by the way, congratulations on your state semifinal run there for your coach. I know you had Matt Holliday's boy on your team, and you had Josh Holliday's boy on the team. You guys were really, really good, Coach. So congratulations on that, and I know you just have a beautiful family each and every day to wake up to. So I'm going to go kiss my beautiful bride and take – you can hear my Dodgers dogs in the background, right? I'm going to take my two beautiful Dodgers dogs on a walk. Got to go see my boy. He just built a house out on our farm there at Glencoe. Got to go hang out yesterday with him. So, hey, you know.
Life is good, Case.
Yeah, life is good, brother. Life is good. Right, Coach?
That's right. And, Alex, happy Mother's Day. Please tell your wife and the lovely Beverly Porter for me. And like I said, this is a great time to do what we do and have the passion we have for the game. So, it's great. And like I said, you go enjoy your dogs out there. I hear them. They're ready to go for a walk.
They are, Daddy. They can sense that Daddy's about to get off the air. And when Daddy gets off the air, I have no time. It's directly going for a walk.
So, mine are waiting on a treat. Mine will be ready for a treat too.
Absolutely. Hey, great to see your face. Congratulations again on your wonderful year, state semifinal run. Love you, and we will talk to you next time.
Love you, Case, and go Dodgers.